And so we're holding on Tzadikesa Merala, about two-thirds of the way down the Amud. The line begins B'shlicha, and we're a bit behind. Today should really be Dapur. We'll see what we can do. Okay, we started discussing yesterday the concept that Rav Asi had said, Umen Koine B'shvach Keli, that if you hire a craftsman, if you contract with a craftsman to make a Keli for you, he owns at least the Shvach, maybe even some Mephoshim want to say maybe even the whole Keli, and then effectively what happens is when you pay him for it, and he gives it to you, if not, you're paying him for his work, but rather, sort of, so to speak, he's selling it to you. He owned it at that point, or partially owned it, at least you and he are sort of part of it.
He's selling the object.
Well, he's selling, you provided the raw materials. You provided the raw materials to your partners with him in it, in effect. You own you own it to the extent of the value of the raw materials. He owns it to the extent of the craftsmanship that he put into it. We discussed yesterday the difference whether there's only the raw materials and his craftsmanship, or is there maybe a situation where the raw materials themselves sort of do the work by themselves without his involvement necessarily. But anyway, the point is, if we say Umen Koine B'Shvach Keli, so we mentioned, I mean, the relevance of it to our Mishnah and therefore to our Sugya is that therefore if he ends up breaking it after he made it, he only has to pay for the value of the raw material, not the full value of the Keli. Whereas if we were to say that he wasn't Koine the Keli at that point, he'd be responsible to pay for the full value of it. So we discussed Rav Asi had said that. We discussed, does Shmuel disagree with him? We said not necessarily, etc. So, Lema Katanoi, should we say that this is actually the subject of a machloek Tanoim, this idea of Umen Koine B'Shvach Keli? We learned in a Braisa in Kedushin, if a woman says to a man, Aseli Shirim Nizomen of Tabois, make for me bracelets or nose rings or finger rings, the Ekadish Lach, and then I will be Niskadish to you with that. Kivin Shasan Mekudeshes. Once he makes them, then she's Mekudesh. Divir Rav Meir. Whereas the Chachamim say she's not Mekudesh until Mamun, which on the face of it means Mamun as in the sense of something that's worth Mamun, meaning the actual jewelry, reaches her hands. So, my Mamun, we have to consider on the face of it, Mamun means, in other words, the jewelry. Which she ordered by him.
So she doesn't own it.
Well, that's the way. My mammon, what money are we talking about that according to the Chachamim, once it reaches her hands, she'll be niskadish? Ilema oise mammon. Are you telling me that it means that very money itself, those very goods themselves, meaning the Chachamim are saying she's only meaning, in other words, that the Chachamim would be saying she's only niskadish once the actual ring or what have you reaches her hands?
In other words, she gets titled to it?
Well, in other words, that it's given to her. The problem with that is, McLeod is
given to her.
He's making it for her. She commissioned it by him. McLeod did a mayor sava oita mom and loy. So what does that imply then? That Rameyer would say that even if those goods themselves reach her hands, she's not. I mean, he says Kivin Shaston Mekudesh. As soon as he makes them, she's Mekudesh. But how can it be? I mean, Elabamai Mekadesha. So something has to reach her hands. What's she going to be Niskadesh with if he's not actually giving her the jewelry? Tosfos talks about that you can't say that she's Mekodesh, the fact that she should have had to pay him, and he's Mechel that wouldn't work. That wouldn't work, and Tosfos gives two reasons why. One, because maybe she doesn't have that in mind. She wants the actual jewelry to be in her hands before she's willing to be Niskadish. Or the other possibility is, as the Gemara is going to be discussing soon, the concept which we learned in this connection in Kedushin, Yeshna L'Schidus M'Tchil V'Ad Soif, that his pay for the work is considered sort of a loan. It was a loan that gradually mounted up over time as he did more and more of the work. And you can't be, as we'll see soon, you can't be Mekadesh with a loan. You can't be exact. So, Elop Shita my mom and Acher. Evidently then, what the Braisa must mean when it says that the Chachamim say she's not Mekodesh until Momen reaches her hand, must be Momen Acher, must be some other money. Now, Visavruha, furthermore, the Yeshiva Lait who brought up this kasha, took the view, Dekola Alma Yeshna L'Chsiris Mitzchil Avad Zoyt, let's assume that both Reb Meir and the Chachamim agree that Yeshna L'Chsiris Mitzchil Avad Zoyt, meaning as he does each bit of work, more of his fee is owing to him, is owed to him. So he does a little bit of the work, and now he's owed a Purukta. He does another, and now effectively that gets transformed into a loan because she owes it to him eventually. He does another bit of work. But you can't be Makadosh B'Mil. That's the point. So if we assume that Yeshna L'Tchilas L'Tchil about Tzayf, then it means that every bit of work that he did eventually becomes a milva, eventually becomes a loan.
She owes him money,
but you can't be Makadosh B'Milva. We discussed then when we learned in Kedushin, Tosfos Rid talks about why can't we say she's Miskadosh with the last Purukta of work, and basically the idea is because the fact is she's not paying him the moment he finishes the last Purukta of work. That also ends up getting together with the rest of the previous balance, and therefore it also becomes part of the milva.
And can't we say that as he progresses in his work, she is kainé?
She's not kainé anything. She hasn't paid him yet.
Does she have to be me?
She has to do something to be, yeah. And furthermore, let's assume or dekula alma makadosh b'milva eni mekudeshes. Furthermore, let's assume that both Reb Meir and Chachamim agree that you cannot be makadosh with a loan, because milva lights on this, it's considered as if the money was already spent. There's no actual goods being transferred from him to her at that time.
Right.
So, given those two assumptions, my lab woman kind of a shvach keli kamitzavi, then shouldn't we have to say that the machlokes between Reb Meir and the Chachamim is on this matter of woman kind of a shvach keli? Reb Meir saw a woman kind of a shvach keli. Reb Meir holds that he is kind that he is kainet.
As opposed to what could be the other end of the machlokes?
Well, that we're going to talk about soon. The Gemara is going to continue. That there's a few. We assume that both of them take these two facts as a given. Yeshin l'chilas mitzchil avad tzayf and a makadosh b'milva and a makadosh. The Gemara is going to revisit those assumptions in a minute. But if we start with those two assumptions, then the only point they could be arguing on is umen kainah b'shvach keli. Reb Meir would hold umen kainah b'shvach keli. Therefore, in other words, by making the rings, he now owns them. By making the rings, he now owns them, and therefore, as soon as Mammon Acher is given,
even she gave the gold.
She provided the gold, but he did the work. So that's the thing. You need Oman kind of a shvach keli. Otherwise, what he's giving her belongs to her. Otherwise, the rings that he's giving her belong to her. If we say Oman kind of a shvach keli, it's his rings that he's giving to her, and therefore the mayor says once you give her the ring, then yes, she's niskadish. Whereas the rabbanon would hold Einuman kind of, rabbanon saver Einuman kind of a shvach keli. So therefore, it's considered her ring all along, and you can't give her her very own ring and be mekadish her with it.
Even though there is work that's being put, it's called shvach.
There is definitely shvach, but if we argue that the Chachamim hold ein umen kone b'shvach keli, it means, in other words, we consider that the actual ring belongs to her, but she owes him money for the amount of time that he spent on it. There's two different ways of looking at it. That's what we're saying. One way of looking at it is that the actual object, or the shvach of it at least, belongs to the umen until he's paid. And the other way of looking at it is that nothing of it actually belongs to the woman. The whole thing belongs to the original, the person who provided the person who commissioned it and provided the raw material. Just he owes that. He owes the craftsman afterwards. He owes him for the amount that they agreed on.
Two questions here. Number one, who does the shvach belong to?
That's what we're trying to figure out.
One question. And number two, from the shvach, if the shvach belongs to the future husband, can he give it to her as he would give a pruta to marry?
Why not? It's something that has monetary value.
He does?
Yeah. So, if you say that, then it means the Chachamim would, it means that Rav Asi's statement that Oman Kone B'Shvach Keli would be only a point to Rav Meir, not a point to the Chachamim.
Right.
No, the Gemara says, Loi, Dekula Alma Ein Oman Kone B'Shvach Keli. No, you might say that everybody disagrees with Rav Asi. The Oman is not Kone. So therefore, you can't say, in other words, from that point of view, the ring does not belong to him. It belongs to her to begin with. But they may well be arguing on this matter of how is the payment that he's owed for the work, is it considered that he earns it piecemeal or that it comes all at once when he finishes the job? Reb Meir Saba Einin the Schiros Elo Vatsoif, namely Reb Meir might hold then that the Schiros is only payable at the end of the job. So in other words, up until that point, he's been working for free, so to speak. As soon as he finishes the job, all of a sudden, at that moment, she owes him $100 for the work. Well, then, fine. He can be Mekadesh with that. He can be Mekadesh with that. It's not a milva. It's not considered that he lent her money. Whereas the Rabbanan hold that it's piecemeal, one prutah at a time. And each prutah is considered a milva because he's lending it to her basically in return for the work that he's doing. And you can't be Mekadesh for milva. So then you don't have to say that. So again, everybody would agree then that the ring itself is considered to belong to her all this time. So you obviously can't be Mekadesh with the ring. So the question is, can you be Mekadesh with the wages? If the wages are, not the shvach, but the wages, the amount that he's going to be paid, which is not necessarily the same as the shvach. Usually it would be more. You don't just charge for the shvach. You charge for your time as well.
Could you Mekadesh with the shvach?
The previous thing we were saying is that, yes, the only question is, does the shvach belong to him? Now, though, we're saying something else. The assumption now is that everybody agrees the shvach does not belong to him. So it's not something he can be Mekadesh with. Rather, the question is, can he be Mekadesh with the wages that she owes him, which now she's not going to have to pay him?
If somebody owes money, that's
a milva.
So the minute he finishes the job, until he pays, so isn't it?
No, but right then and there, when he finishes the job, then he's mostly.
Second, it takes a few minutes. It's a milva.
As soon as he gives her the ring.
It's mostly, but you cannot get married.
No. But the coin to the mayor, it's not a milva because the coin to the mayor, the moment he gives her the ring, which granted the ring itself belongs to her all this time because Einol Muntoni was Shvach Keli, so he's not being Mekadesh with the ring. But that same moment, in that same split second, the amount that he should have been paid for it comes due, and now he's meichel right there on the spot.
That's
enough to marry her because that's happens to the milva.
Finishes it comes due when he gives it to her.
I think we talked about in Kiddushin that's only when he gives it to her. Yes. Where's the Rabbanan hold Yeshinul Skirus Mitzvah about Tzayis? That there is that every bit of the Skirus is bit by bit, and therefore each bit is a milva. And you can't be Mekadesh from Milva. The Iboy is saying, or yet another possibility, the Kula Ama Yeshin of Sirus Nitzil of Adzai, maybe everybody agrees that Sirus is payable piecemeal. The Hachal, the Mekadesh from Milva commits to these. But they can be arguing on the third point. But again, we said there's three points to consider over here. Uman Koine B'Shvach Keli, Yeshin of Sirus Nitzil of Adzai, and Mekadesh from Milva. We started with the assumption that they agree on two of them and disagree on Uman Koine B'Shvach Keli. Now we're saying, not necessarily. As long as we say they're arguing on any one of the three things, you can still explain their machlokes accordingly. But now we can say maybe they're arguing on the basic concept of Mekadesh B'Milva. Did a mayor suffer on Mekadesh B'Milva and Mekadeshes, but a bonan suffer on Mekadesh B'Milva and Mekadeshes? Maybe the mayor holds that you can. The halacha is like the Mekadesh B'Milva and Mekadeshes, sure, but yeah. Rava Amar, Rava says yet another possibility. Kula Amar Yeshin of Schirus Mitzchil of Adzai. Fine. Let's say everybody agrees that the Schirus is payable piece. Or the Kula Amar Mekadesh Milva and Mekadeshes. Furthermore, let's assume that everybody agrees that you cannot be Mekadesh with a Milva. And or the Kula Amar Ein Omen Koine Mishvach Kedin. Furthermore, we can say the third point, which is what we started the whole discussion with about Omen Koine Mishvach Kedin. Fine, we can say they both agree that's not the case, meaning they disagree with Ravati. You can find, though, a fourth detail, you can find a fourth consideration that could explain their machlokes. Namely, because you could have a case, she supplied the raw materials and told him to make her a ring. He went and on his own volition added a precious stone to it. Neufach is one of the stones from the Choshen. The point is, therefore. So in other words, if we say like this, the actual ring belongs to her all this time because she provided the raw materials and Ein Umen Koine B'Shvach Keli. So he can't be Mekadesh with the ring itself. He can't be Mekadesh with his wages because Yeshna L'Skiris Mitzchil of Adzoif, every pruta of it became a milva piecemeal, and let's say everybody agrees he can't be Mekadesh with milva. But because he added this precious stone, that gives you another detail to consider. Namely, Rav Meir sov a milva or pruta daita pruta, that Rav Meir would hold, and here, if we say this way, then it comes out that what Rav Meir is saying is valid of the halacha, that if you Mekadesh a woman with a milva as well as another pruta, then she has in mind the pruta, and therefore it's a valid condition.
So if he doesn't own the stone?
No, he does own the stone. The stone came out of his own personal funds. He decided on his own, I'm making a ring for you, I'm going to voluntarily add a stone of my own. So that he's Makad, in other words, then, what are we saying? He's Makadish her with his wages, but that doesn't work because that's a milvah. But in addition, he's saying, I'm being Makadish with both, with my wages as well as with the stone. And the mayor holds that's good enough. Rabbanon Savri, milvah, prosa, daita, milvah. Whereas the Rabbanon holds that in that case she has in mind the milvah, and then it doesn't work. So that could.
She
has in mind the milvah only, not the stone. Not the stone, right. Right. She doesn't mean to be niskadish, in other words, via the stone. She means to be niskadish via the milvah, and that doesn't work. Which we discussed at the time, by the way. We'll learn in Sanhedrin next year, Rez Hashem, that this was actually a machloikus between David and Shaul, having to do with when David was makadish, Michal, one way the Gemara explains why Shaul felt that she's not considered a married woman and felt free to give her away to another guy, Palti ben Laish, is because it was a case of milvah or krotah. Anyway. So if we explain the machlokas of the Chachamim and Rameyer that way, then it means, so far it means they all agree that ein umen koine b'shvach keli, meaning not like Rav Asi said, and in fact, by the way, the halacha is not like Rav Asi. Over plugta dahani tanoi.
On the shvach.
The umen is not koine b'shvach. Over plugta dahani tanoi. And in that case, it would come out that that the machloikas of Rav Meir and the Chachamim in this Braita is the same as the machloikas of the following Tanoim in the following Braita. The Tanya, as we learn in another Braita, if he says, I want to be Mekadosh you b'schar shal sisi imach, I want to be Mekadosh you with the wages of some work that I already did to you, that I already did for you.
That wasn't paid yet.
Ain't a Mekadosh, then she's not Mekadosh, because then it's a milvah. But if he says, I want to be Mekadosh you with the schar that I will do with you, then Mekadosh. Because then we would say that the schirus is not mitzchil about soif, it only comes due at the end. It only comes into play at the end. And again, therefore, it's not a milvah. The moment it comes due is when he's Mekadosh with it. Rav Nosson Omer,
he gives it to her.
He's saying like this, I'm going to be doing some work for you. When that work is done, you're going to owe me X amount. I want to be Mekadosh you at that point with that amount. If we say, that works because there's no milvah over here. The moment he finishes the work, the moment he delivers the finished work, is when it becomes due, and at that moment, he's Mekadosh with it. Whereas if we say that Yeshna was clear from Kilav Atzoris, that wouldn't work because there's a Prota, and the whole thing amounts to a milvah. And after the Braisa had started saying that if he says for the schar of what I already did for you, that for sure doesn't work. That's for sure a milvah. So b'schar she'esa imach mukadeshes. Rav Nosson Omer, b'schar she'esa imach ena mukadeshes. Rav Nosson says no. If he says for the schar that I will do work for you, she's not mukadesh. Because Yeshna the Skiris and Skil of Absoif, so it all becomes a milva. Because again, the Schar Shal Sizima, how much more so if he says, I want to be Makadashi with the Schar of the work that I already did for you, which is definitely a milva already, because she already owed it to him before and just hadn't paid it yet.
But Rabbi Yehuda, and if it's forgiven, a milva that's forgiven.
Oh, but that's the point. So we learned in Kedushin about the concept of Hanoah Mechilas Milva. Can you be Mekadosh with the Hanoah of the fact that I'm forgiving you the loan? That's another matter. But here we're talking about the actual, doing Mekadosh with the actual loan amount itself. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says no. The Emes Omru, in truth they said, and the Gemara mentions in a few places that whenever it says the Emes Omru means the Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. In this case, it seems a little hard to say that because the Rambam says as a general, the Rambam says as a fact, when we know something is Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, nobody disagrees with it. And here we see the Tanakama and Rav Nosson are disagreeing with it. So maybe over here, the Emes Omru doesn't mean Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, but rather it means that Rav Yehuda Anasi had the Kabbalah that's a very strong deal. That, Bein B'schar Shal Sisi Imoch, Bein B'schar She'ese Imochen Mekudesh, true, like Rav Nosson says, if he says that I want to be Mekadosh with the schar of what I will do, or the schar of what I did do, either way, ain't a Mekadosh, because again, in either case, the milvah. However, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi adds, v'im hoisef on nofech mishaloi Mekadosh, but if he adds a precious stone of his own, then she is Mekadosh. So there you go then. Rav Nosson is not making that distinction because he holds like the Rabbanon of the previous Brais, it was Rav Meir, that doesn't help. Okay, so now you have a milvah and a prutah, it doesn't matter, she still has in mind the milvah. Whereas Rebbe holds like a mayor, that works because she has in mind the filter, in this case the
Can you kind of anything else with a meal there? A house or
a... I don't know. You can't really use coins for chalipin, so in that sense maybe not. But Kol Tnai Shel Mamon Kayem, right? I mean, if you wanna agree that I'll forgive the loan and you'll give me the house, and you can make such a tnai. You're talking about would it be a valid kinyan, I don't know. Again, well, metaphorically, you're not coining with kesef anyway. Metaphorically, you're coining with mashicha or agbar or what have you. Okay. So the Gemara continues. My ikka ben tanakama l'Rav Nosson. Okay. So we have three opinions in this brayta. We have the tanakama, we have Rav Nosson, and we have Rav Yehuda Nosson. What's the difference between the tanakama and Rav Nosson? Ikka ben ayus schiris. The underlying machlokas between them is about the nature of schiris. Is it ena elul of a soif that it only comes due at the end of the whole period, and therefore it works to say that I'll be makadosh you with the work that I will yet do for you, whereas according to Rav Nosson that doesn't work because yeshin l'schiras mitzvah about soif. My bein Rav Nosson and Rav Yehuda Nasi, and what's the difference? What's the underlying machlokas? Rav Nosson, Rav Yehuda Nasi, it could be now your milvah prutah. They're arguing about this milvah prutah. That's why Rav Yehuda Nasi says that if you add the noifach then you're good, and Rav Nosson doesn't make that distinction. So that ends that discussion about Uman Kone B'Shvaki. Now to get back to a little more directly, we're saying that the machloikas of Rav Meir and the Chachamim on it may not be over that issue. They both may agree against Rav Asi that he's not Kone B'Shvaki. And therefore, going back to our Mishnah, there wouldn't be any difference. There wouldn't be any difference when the Mishnah says that you gave something to a craftsman to fix or to make, and he broke it, and he's chayev. According to that, it wouldn't be a difference whether you gave him wood or whether you gave him an already made cabinet. Either way, once the keli is finished, then you own it. You're just obligated to pay him for it. And therefore, he'd be chayav for the full value of it. So now, getting back a little more directly to the main subject of the Mishnah, which is that if you're giving a craftsman something to do and he ruins it, then he's chayav. So in this connection, Amar Shmuel, Tabach Uman Shkirkel, if you have a shochet who's an expert shochet. And Rashi says Shkirkel that he ruined the shchita, he shechted it, for example, in the wrong place on the neck. Chayav l'shalom, then he's chayav to pay. And it doesn't just mean if he's an expert shochet. How much more so if he's not an expert, if he's an amateur? The chiddush is even though he's an expert, he's still chayav. Maziku pesheu. He is a mazik. He is a pesheya. He's careless. The Gemara is going to say soon. We're going to say soon. We're going to say in a couple of lines why he needed to say both those expressions. Maziku pesheu. No, it doesn't have to mean that he did it by mazik. He did it by mistake. But still, we consider him a mazik. We consider him a bashea. It's the equivalent of as if the owner of the animal told him, shecht it on this part of the neck, and instead he shechted it on some other part of the neck. And therefore he's chayav. So the question is, lomali the name of maziku bashea. What does he need the double expression? He's a mazik, he's a bashea. What is he adding with that? Means like this, Iyam Maziku, because if Shmuel had only said that if Shmuel had only said the words Maziku, Haba Minahani Milahecha the Kavad Bishar, then you would think, when do you make him chayev? Only if he's being paid for his work. But you would think maybe if he's doing it for free, maybe you shouldn't be mechayev him for the value of the animal.
No, it should be mazik only if he's paid for it.
You would think that maybe he's chayev only if he's paid for it. So Rashi says the reason is because we know a mazik is chayev even in onus, or the mord lo'olam. But we would think maybe that only applies if he's being paid. Maybe does he have that higher level of responsibility. Tosfos talked about earlier in the Masechta and also in Bava Metzia that there's a reason. What does Tosfos say over there? That there's a reason to argue that if he's doing it for free, maybe the concept of Adam Mord La'olam does not apply
if it's a piece of jewelry,
to this kind of nezek.
If it's a piece of jewelry of value, why shouldn't he be held responsible even if he's not paid?
I have to find where Tosfos talked about it, but there was something that they argued about it that there might be reason. Yeah, here if he's doing it for free, if he's effectively a shomechinam, then something like this, where he made a mistake and shechted it wrongly, might be considered similar to it having been stolen. Just like a shomechinam is potter when the thing was stolen, that's considered enough of an onus for him to be potter. Maybe in this case also it would be considered enough to make him potter. But if he's a shomechinam, is higher than neighbor. That's the logic. In other words, it's true, adam mu'ad la'olam, but nevertheless we would still say that there's a difference. To what extent are you mu'ad la'olam? You have a higher level of responsibility if you're doing it for pay than for free.
Right.
We know, even when we say adam mu'ad la'olam, we did say at the time that there still is adam mu'ad la'olam, but he's still potter if it was a totally unavoidable onus. We gave the example, for example, a person breaks kalim while he's sleeping, he's chayev, but if while he was asleep somebody put down the kalim next to him, he's potter because he had no way to know that they were there. That's the point, in other words, basically. If he's a shomechinam, the level of onus that patters him is lower. And therefore that would be enough to patter him even under the grounds of adam mu'ad la'olam.
But my question is, can't even the fact that he's a shomechinam be accepted to be a shomech with something that's high value?
It doesn't matter. Shomechinam is a shomechinam. Unless stipulations were made otherwise. Well, that's the assumption. We're saying that not like that. The fact is, we're saying that even though he's doing it for free, yeah. But that's the point. If we only said maziku, you would think that only applies. We only consider him a mazik adam mu'ad la'olam if he was doing it for pay. Aval heichad dekavod b'chinam. But if he was doing it for free, loy, then you would think maybe he's potter. Maybe that's considered enough of an onus to potter him. Kamashmon peshehu. That is why Shmuel had to add the words peshehu, meaning, in other words, that this is the kind. This is not considered an onus. This is considered an act of carelessness.
So he should be chayav.
And that is why he's chayav. That's the point. He's chayav whether he's doing it for pay or for free. And the reason is, Rashi says, because it's Peshea in the sense, why did he shecht in the wrong place? The pasture is because the animal moved around unexpectedly. Well, he should keep that in mind. He knows the animal is capable of moving, and therefore he needs to be careful to shecht in the right place.
How can you be a Peshea without being a Mazik?
Maziku means that you're a Mazik, therefore you're Chayev. Don't think it means you're only a Mazik. If you're doing it for pay, you're Peshea. You're the kind of Mazik who's doing it as Peshea, therefore you're Chayev even if you're doing it for free. That's what we're saying. Okay. Esver of Chama Baguria the Shmuel. However, then Rav Chama Baguria asks Shmuel. A Braita says, "Hanosin behemel tabach benibla." If a person gives an animal to a shochet and he makes it nevela, he shechts it wrongly. Uman potter. If he was an expert, then he's potter because it's considered an onus. Hediot chayev. If he's an amateur, then he's chayev because he should have not taken the responsibility on himself. But if you're paying him, then he's chayev regardless whether he's an amateur or an expert. So you're not the opposite. Shmuel is saying he's chayev regardless whether he's, this Brisa says that it depends whether he's being paid or not. Amalei, so Shmuel says to him a very sharp expression, la'akir moichach. La'akir actually says to my mayim achurim, like muddy, cloudy water. There's different explanations. It can mean your brain should be clouded. It could mean your brain is cloudy, like you're asking such a silly question. Why he's using such a sharp expression? And there's a number of explanations that Achronim give. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that basically it's a way of saying that it's sort of like a rhetorical question. Is your mind so clouded? Think about it clearly, and you'll realize the answer. You'll realize the distinction. I saw something with a Chazon Ish as a discussion about it. He says that no, it is. You can't explain it as an actually literally in a sense cursing him. Let your brain be clouded. In the sense that he's saying to the Chama Baguria, you're showing a lack of derech eretz. You don't think I know that b'laisa? Shmuel is saying to the Chama Baguria, who is his talmid, you think I don't know that b'laisa? If you were to think about it, you could realize the answer yourself. What is the answer? Well, the answer is, wait, before he had a chance to give the answer, another one of the Chachamim came by, and asked him the very same question from the very same Braisa. Amalei, and Shmuel tells him, Hashta shaklat mayda shakol chavrach. You're going to get what your friend got, meaning the same sharp expression, la'akra moichach, that I told Rav Chama Bar Guria, I'm telling you as well. You're not thinking clearly. I'm telling you what Rav Meir would hold. You're answering me from a braisa, which would be according to the Rabbanon. Amayla daikis mili. Why? You should have. Why didn't you think carefully into the words that I used? Shani Omer, the words that I said. Maziku b'sheru. Nasik Omer the shchot lo shchot lemikan b'shachat lemikan. That he's considered a mazik. He's considered a pesher because of the equivalent of the balabos telling him shechted here and him deliberately going and endure deliberately, but it's the equivalent of him going and shechting it someplace else, which makes him chayev. And you should have realized from the wording I used, from the way I said that man is high svara, the mayor. Who is the one who holds that svara of that concept is Rameir. That Rameir is the one who says that a person is responsible to do the best possible thing he can do. Therefore, you should have, as the Gemara will explain in a minute, where we see Rav Meir said that. Therefore, in other words, Rav Shmuel is telling Rav Chama Bar Guria and this other person, you should have deduced from the wording that I use that I'm meaning to say according to Rav Meir. So you're bringing me a braisa, which you think is a contradiction. That braisa could well be according to the Chachamim. Stam braisa is not Rav Meir. So, hey Rav Meir. So now we have to ask, which statement of Rav Meir indicates this idea that he says that a person is responsible to ensure that he does things right? Ile Mahar Rav Meir, can we say that it is the following statement of Rav Meir, Kalan Simon, or the Kuf Lamed Nun is the initials of three cases that Rav Meir deals with Nezikin, all of which we've quoted already at one time or another in our sector. Ditznan, number one would be what we learned in a Mishnah earlier in the Masechta. Koshre bala b'meseira v'nal b'fanav paroi. If the owner of an animal, whether it was tam or muad, tied it with a rope or a harness, whatever, a halter, or he locked the door in front of it properly, the kind of door that'll stand in a ruach metzuya, the yotz of a hezik, and it went out and caused hezik, bein tam bein muad chayev, whether the animal is tam or muad, Rav Meir says he's chayev, and we have there Rav Yehuda says tam chayev muad pater, etc. So you're going to say, therefore, that shows, on the face of it, Rameyer would hold, even though you tied it with a rope, or even though you locked, even though you closed the door, you're still chayev because you could have done better. Problem with that is, Hassan Bekroyesli. The problem with that is Rameyer is not saying over there his idea based on a svara like that. He's darshaning, he's explaining how he understands the pasuk. In other words, it's exactly a kosev, basically. You can't say that it's a matter of this svara mibolo the mirman action. Elahora Meir. No, so okay, let's try to say then that it's rather the following statement of Rameir, the Lamed. It's not, we learn in the Mishnah, it's the next Mishnah in our parak. Let's buy a loy adam vitzavay shachar. If you give a dyer wool to dye it red and he dyed it black, or shachar vitzavay adam, or you gave it to him to dye black and he dyed it red, Rameir oimer noisen loy dmei samroi, and Rameir is saying that you have to pay him the value of the wool. So therefore, you see that because you see on the face of it, he's making the guy fully responsible. The problem with that is hasam yadayim ployman. The difference is that there was an actual thing that he did directly to it. It's a chloy, literally means he burnt it. In other words, he actually took the wool in his hands and did something to it. You're talking about a case where he did something where there was an accident or something. And one difference is, Mepharshim say, the difference is that to dye the wool the wrong color is carelessness. To shech the animal in the wrong place, it could happen. Even if you're an expert, your hand slips. In other words, if you're an expert craftsman, if you're an expert dyer, you'll know to keep track of. You were told to dye it a certain color, you're going to dye it a certain color. So if you don't do that, it shows you're not an expert. It shows that you're acting like an amateur. As opposed to a shechet, even the most expert shechet, his hand might slip. So therefore, so you can't say that a mayor would be the one who holds by the case of the animal that you hire regard.
If he has Parkinson's, can you stay a show?
If you what?
If he has Parkinson's.
Probably not. I don't know. I have no idea. El Ahora mayor. No, rather we would have to say that's the following statement from mayor. That's not, and we learned earlier in the Masechta. the Tanya really it is, Nishbara Kadivale Silka, if somebody's jug broke in the street and he didn't pick up the broken pieces, or Nafla Gmale Vlaihe Midr, or his camel fell down and he didn't pick it up and somebody came and tripped over it, Rameyo or Machayev in Yitzchun, Rameyo says he's Chayev in the Nezek, Lachamim and Potter did on him, Machayev in the Shemayim, Lacham says he's Potter from being penalized by having to pay in Beis Din, he'd be Chayev to pay in order to get out of judgment of Hashem. But Kaim Alandim and Nitka Peshe, who deployed thee, and we established when we learned this, that the underlying argument is when he trips, is that considered Pshia, which therefore makes him responsible to do something about it, to pick up the pieces afterwards. So there we see that since Reb Meir holds that he is Chayev, that means Reb Meir holds in this concept, Mibayla Lemirma and Apshe. You have the ability, you fell down and then broke your jug, fine, it was an accident, but it was to a certain degree of Pshia, and now, therefore, you're responsible because people aren't supposed to trip, people aren't supposed to look where they're going, and therefore, you're now responsible to clean up the mess, and if somebody gets hurt by it, you're Chayev. By the same logic, Reb Meir can be the one who says that you were shechting an animal and your hand slipped and you shechted it in the wrong place, you're going to be Chayev, regardless whether you were being paid or not, which is what Shmuel was saying. It's similar. It's a similar concept.
What do you mean?
You're responsible to make sure that you do things properly. You tripped, which is already considered a pshia, the fact that you tripped, because you're supposed to look where you're going. Now, at least, after the fact, clean up after yourself. And you don't, and then you don't. If he doesn't clean up, then it's... Whereas the Chachamim say that since he's not a pshia in the first place, therefore he's not responsible afterwards to clean it up. If he had deliberately thrown it down, sure, he'd be chayav. Okay, so therefore that's the point. In other words, the Shmuel statement about the animal can well be, it turns out, is according to the mayor. Okay. Further on this, Amar Rav Babachana Amar Rav Yechanan, Tabach Uman Shekilko Chayev, if you have an expert Shechet who wounded, who did the Shechet improperly, he's Chayev, Vafilu Hu Uman Ketabachit Tzipori, even if he's as much of an expert as the Shachtim of Tzipori. Well, apparently, Tzipori is a city in the Galil. Apparently, they were known to be great experts in Shechet. But so even if he's the greatest expert, he's still chayev if he checks it improperly. Okay, the question is, you don't say it's an oinus, in other words. The question is, why did Rabbi Yechanan really say that? There was a case that was brought in front of Rabbi Yechanan in the shul of Moin. Moin is a city near Tiberia. Such a case where Shochet made an animal nevela by mistake in the Shechita, and Rabbi Yechanan tells him, Zil Aiti Raya, the Mamchis Vatana Golem, go bring proof that you are an expert as far as shechting chickens, Basterach, and I'll say that you're Potter. Okay, some Mephoshim say that the case was involving a chicken over here. Other Mephoshim say if you can show that you're an expert as far as chickens, even though this was an animal, that's reason enough to say that's reason enough to argue that it might be an onus. They also discuss why should he have to bring the proof, what about happened, and basically the answer boils down to because, as we said before, he's like a shomer. And just like a shomer, when the claim is being made, the shomer was careless, and therefore he's chayav to pay for the thing, he's the one who has to bring the proof, or swear, as the case may be, that he wasn't, similarly over here. Okay. So anyway, the point is there, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that if he is an expert, he'll be potter. Rabbi Babachana is reporting in the first case that he's saying even if he's the greatest expert, he's still chayav. The answer is loitasha kan b'chinam kan b'schar. Exactly the distinction that we made before between whether he's being paid or not. If he's being paid, then he has a higher level of responsibility. Therefore, even if he's an expert, you can't consider that an oinus. If he's doing it for free, then if he's an expert, then that's enough oinus. That those two things taken together, the fact that he's doing it for free and the fact that he's an expert, is enough of an oinus to make him falter. You have to bring a raya that he's an expert. Tihad Amar Abzera, just like we find the din that Abzera said, Haroshashi is chayav lo tabach. If somebody is bringing an animal to a shochet, the chef, and he wants to make sure that the shochet will be chayav if he accidentally makes the animal treif, if he accidentally makes it nevela, yakdim lo dinu. He should go and give him a dinu, give him some money ahead of time, because then he's a shomer sacher. So he's not acquiring the animal with that dinner, because to acquire the animal, he would need to do meshicha or agbah or what have you. But by doing that, he's making this person a shomer sacher. A shomer sacher has a higher level of responsibility. Okay. Because it's meisvi. Fine, but I have another contradiction to all this. You're telling me only when the person is being paid is he chayev. even if he's an expert. But a braisa says, if somebody brings wheat to a miller, if somebody brings wheat to a miller, we could read it as litchon, meaning to be ground, but Rashi says adam ha-mamuna al-kach, that the person is responsible for this kind of thing. So therefore, the word is tochon, the one who grinds, the miller. So a person brings a wheat to a grinder, to a miller. V'loy losan. Now this miller did not wash the wheat before grinding it, before milling it. Which therefore, you end up with whole wheat flour. You don't end up like the bran gets mixed in with it, and you end up with dark flour. Basan subanay mursan, and therefore he ended up making it flour mixed with bran. Suban and mursan are two different layers of the wheat kernel that make it into whole wheat or pumpernickel bread. Or kemach nachtem basoy pasnipolin, or you brought flour to a baker to bake bread for you, and he made bread that fell, that didn't rise properly. Or behemah l'tabach v'nibloh, you brought an animal to a shochet and he made it nevela. In all those cases, chayav rifnei who can know sasacha, because he's like somebody who's being paid. Implying, it sounds like even if you're not paying him, even if he's doing it for free, you always consider him as if he's getting paid. So what are you, Rabbi Yochanan, telling me there's a distinction whether he's getting paid or not? From this braisa, it sounds like no. No, change the wording a little bit. Not because he's like a noisa sacher, but because he is a noisa sacher. Meaning, if you're paying him for the work, then he's a noisa sacher, and therefore he has a higher level of responsibility, and even if he's an expert, then that's not enough of an excuse. But if you're not, if he's doing it for you as a freebie, then he'd have to be posture if he was an expert.
Even being an expert.
Because he's an expert and he's doing it as a freebie, those two things are enough to make it to be enough of an onus to pass it.
In other words, implying that
a non-expert, he shouldn't be doing it. Yeah, because he shouldn't be doing it. He has no business doing it in the first place. Yeah. So a case in this connection, there was a case of an animal that was mugremes. Hagroma, when we learn Cholin in a couple of years, Beis Hashem, we'll learn in detail about the five basic things that pass over Shchita. One of them is Mugremes, which is basically you shech too high up on the neck. There's rules that you can only shech below a certain point on the windpipe, below a certain point on the esophagus. Any higher than that is called Mugremes. What does it mean? I think it means basically like in the wrong place or something, but I'm not sure actually. Anyway. So there was such a case, that was brought to Rav. He declared it treif. Actually, Rashi says specifically the example, specifically what happened over here was that it wasn't completely. I mean, you have so there's a certain point. Basically, what the equivalent of the Adam's apple in a person is more or less is the top limit. This person shechted sort of partially above that, partially below it. So there was a little bit of one of the rings of the windpipe below the shita point, but a little bit not. When we learn in Cholin Beis Hashem, we'll bring some diagrams. We'll get into in great detail what the anatomical details. For our purposes, what's important to know is that it's actually a machloikas tanoim whether such a shita is kosher or not. So Rav declared it treif, upatri l'tabach milashalom edomi, and he patered the shochet from paying for it. Pogabe Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi b'Ahu Gabra. So Rav Kahana and Rav Asi met this person, meaning the owner of the animal, Omrulay, and they said to him, Ovid Bach Rav Tauti. You should know Rav did two things for you. So my Tauti, what do you mean two things? Do they mean to say he did two things that were bad for you? Two things that he could have been makel and made it and made it that you'll get back your animal or your money or whatever, and instead he was and instead he made it bad for you. Namely, number one, he could have held like Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda and said it's kosher, and instead he went like the Rabbanon and said it's shave. The E Nami Kirabanon it's kosher.
It's kosher
because he holds, as long as some part of the ring of the windpipe is below it, then it's okay. Yeah. The top ring we're talking about.
The
Rabbanon said enough. Has to be the whole ring is above the shchita point. Yeah. Anyway. So are you going to say that Rav Kahana and Rav Asi are telling this guy, you should know, number one, Rav was being machmir unnecessarily on you. He could have been makel like Rav Yehuda ben Yehuda, and instead he's machmir like Rabban. The e nami kirabbanon, and number two, that he did bad by you. He could have passed in like the rabbanon, even if you're going to say that he wanted to pass in like the rabbanon, because you go according to the roiv, di boyle chiyuvel tamcha. Still, though, he should have been machmir. He should have been mechayev the shoset, and instead he didn't, and you lost out. The problem is, if that's what they mean, are you allowed to say such a thing to a person? To sort of throw the rub under the bus and say, you know, he could have been makel on you, and instead then and instead he was machmer on you, and so you're going
to
get upset with him? But you can't. First of all, the animal's already said it. Once he paskins, he's a mumchal rabim. Rav has smicha. Once a mumchal rabim paskins, real smicha, then it can't be undone. At most, what might happen is Rav himself might have to pay for it, but even that, a mumchal rabim, he doesn't have to. So yeah, what's it going to accomplish? Just to make the guy mad at Rav? V'hatanya, we learn in a bright, so l'chshiyetze, when it comes to after a case has been decided and based in, when they're going out, lo yoymer ani mezakeh v'chaveri mechayvin, a rav, a dayan, should not say, well, I wanted to acquit you. My colleagues were mechayiv. Avo ma'aseh shechaveri rabu alai. So what could I do? They outnumbered me. If it had been up to me, I would have. But you're not allowed to do that. Val zenem, aholach rochel megalasoid. On this kind of thing, the pasuk says, somebody who goes about bearing tales is a person who does rechilus is somebody who tells a secret. What was done in Beis Din is not meant to be publicized. Who held the deliberations? Yeah, who held what? There's a bottom line. What Beis Din paskin? I'm not real sure, by the way. Nowadays, the Israeli Bata Dinim publish their opinions and they write who held which way. I'm not sure on what basis they do that, but I don't know. Maybe if everybody agrees that they can do it, then they're allowed to. I don't know. Really.
Normally, all the deliberations are
supposed to be kept in camera. They're supposed to be they're meant to be only for the eyes of the dayanim.
No, but the deliberations are the discussions between the judges.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about. In other words, when it comes to paskining the din, when it comes to that, the Beis Din is going to say this person owes money or doesn't owe money, it's not supposed to be. It's not shouldn't be. We'll have a Supreme Court decision where you know the liberal wing did, you know, decided this way and the conservative wing decided that way. It's not supposed to be that way. You have it's a decision from this Beis Din, and that's it. As far as you know, it was unanimous. By the way, the Gemara tells in Sanhedrin a case where one time, 22 years later, after a din torah had been judged, one of the dayanim revealed who had said what, and they threw him out of the den. They threw him out of the basin. So how could Rav Kahana and Rav Asi be doing that? Ella, no. On the contrary, they mean Tautil Amal Yusa. They're telling this guy, Rav did two things for the good for you. Number one, he made it that you're not going to be eating something that's a suffix, whether it's osur. Tosus points out, by the way, that really Rav himself does hold like Rabbi Yehuda ben Yehuda. So he might well have passed him like that. The problem is this guy was an Amoret. You don't want him to be makel in the future on such things inappropriately. So therefore, Rav is doing good by you by making sure that in the future you'll eat only things that are glatt kosher. Yeah. And number two, Menachem is suffix zela. Number two, he prevented you from possibly stealing from this person, because if it was kosher after all, then the sheikhet would be potter. So like this, by him passing the sheikhet as potter, he prevented you from taking money that shouldn't have been yours. Yeah. It's mad. Now the Chachamim had another discussion related to this concept of an expert doing a job and getting it wrong. Hamara dinir l'shulchani, if somebody shows a coin to a money changer, to ask him if it's genuine, if it's full weight, whatever it is, v'nimtzara, and it's the money changer says it's fine. It turns out that it's not fine, and meanwhile, so what happened? You're being offered this coin. You're selling merchandise. You're being offered this coin. You're not sure if it's good or not, so you take it to the money changer. They say it's fine. Meanwhile, later on, it turns out it's no good. So now you have a counterfeit coin, and you lost your merchandise. Tony Chodor Oman Potter had his chayev. One Braita says that if the money changer is an expert, then he's Potter, and if he's an amateur, he's chayev. V'tani Yidach Ben Oman Ben Hedyot Chayev. And another Braita says that whether he's an expert or an amateur, he's chayev. So what is it? Now apparently the Gemara doesn't want to say that it's a difference, like we said before, whether he's being paid or not. Because again, you know, when it comes again, when it
pay.
Well, no, you factor you do pay a money changer, but the difference you pay him for
services. No, for an opinion.
No, even for an opinion. No, I think the difference is like this. Again, with a shochet, even it happens that a shochet, for example, one time shechts wrongly, fine, it could be his hand slipped. You know, even he's an expert, but it happens, the person's hand slips. A money changer who gives a wrong opinion on a coin is acting like an amateur, basically. If he had been a proper expert, then he wouldn't have. Yeah. So therefore, you know what the Braisa means when it says that if he's an expert, he's potter. For example, Danku and Isser, these were two well-known money changers in those times who were great experts on coins. They don't have anything they need to learn. They're the top experts. But anybody who's lesser than that, yes, would be chayim. Okay, well, if they're experts, elabamaito, so fine. What, how did they come to make a mistake? The answer is tov b'sichsachavta. They made a mistake because it was a new kind of coin, meaning the old kind of coin was withdrawn from circulation. New coins are being minted. They're not familiar yet with the new coin, so they saw one of them. They figured, in their professional opinion, it's probably good, but they're not familiar with it yet to be able to recognize the fakes. Actually, the Aruch says actually the other way around. What happened?
They're not familiar. Why did they give an opinion?
They gave an opinion because they're the great experts, and they figured
not
they can. But when it's a new coin, they themselves they don't know. Yeah, I mean they
said, we don't know it's a new coin.
Well, that's what we're going to say. The Pnimi should have been, but the Srift Halacha is that we consider that they're the fact that they're experts for everything else is good enough. The Aruch, by the way, says the other way around. It is a situation where a coin was replaced with another one, but what happened is, therefore, so now you have the new coins are circulating. The old ones have already gone out of circulation. Somebody brings now an old coin and asks the guy for his opinion. And because these aren't circulating anymore, therefore he doesn't remember the details and doesn't remember isn't able to distinguish the real from the fake. It amounts kind of to the same thing. The point is it's not really anything that he could have done differently.
Could have said, I don't know, it's a new coin.
Well, that's the finisher of the din. He can do that. But after all, he's the great expert. If he can't do it, who's going to? Meaning that this new kind of coin had just been released, and therefore, again, a coin like Rashi says he's not familiar with it yet. Okay, so such a case. There was a woman once who showed a coin to Rav Chiya. Again, this kind of situation. She's being offered it for merchandise of hers. Amala Malyahu, he told her it's a good coin.
A new coin it was?
Well, wait, we're going to see. Well, apparently, the Gemara doesn't spell out that it was, but it has to be, because the Gemara is going to say in a minute that Rav Chiya was only chayev to pay him. He wasn't really chayev to pay. He did it with Nimishur Sabin. And we just established, as an expert, the only way for him to be chayev would be if it was a new coin. The next day, this woman came back to him. She says, I showed it to somebody else, to another shopkeeper. They told me it's a bad coin, counterfeit. But like, economically, now I can't spend it. I'm out this money. So Rav Chiya says to Rav, who was his nephew and apparently was his bookkeeper, Zil Chalfen Yala, exchange it for her. And in order to balance the books, write in my notebooks, that I lost this dinner in a bad business deal. Meaning a bad business. Well, it was. Rash says it is. It's in a way, it's my fault. I should have told her that I'm not capable of giving an opinion on it because it's new. I saw, by the way, an interesting thing from Rav Yerlish, the old Satmar Rebbe. Why did he have that? Why is it important to write in the thing that it was a bad business deal? Just say, I lost a dinner, finished. He means in a deeper sense as well. In making his daily cheshbon nefesh, I did a bad deal over here by causing this woman agmas nefesh unnecessarily. Anyway,
by not
telling her right away that I can't give an opinion and therefore causing her the agmas nefesh of finding out that it's counterfeit and thinking she's out the money until he refunded it. Even though he gave her the money, but still, he's holding himself. So the question is, Amayishna Danku v'Issu deputi mishum b'let tzrich l'migma? Fine, what are you saying? Danku and Issu would be potter in such a case because they don't have anything to learn. Everything there is to know about coins they know already. Rav Chiya nami lav l'migma kaboy. Rav Chiya was also one of the top experts. Why is he chayev to pay her? And the answer is, Rav Chiya l'fnei mishuras adin da'avad. True, Rav Chiya is not obligated to pay her, but he did it l'fnei mishuras adin. Kidatoni Rabbi Yosef, as we learn in the Braisa that Rabbi Yosef said, the Pasuk says that when Yisrael advises Moshe to set up the... even though he's a mumche. When Yisro advises Moshe to set up Dayanim, he says to them, the pasuk goes, first he starts by saying you should inform them of the chukim and the Torahs, meaning the actual mitzvahs, and then he continues, you should inform them of the way on which they should go, and the deeds that they should do. So Rabbi Yosef's advice darshins what each of these phrases mean. When it says you should inform them, this means you should inform them about the mitzvah, about the importance of learning Torah. Or in Bava Metzia, this Gemara is quoted, this Braita is quoted in Bava Metzia. Also, Rashi there says that Beis Chayeh means teach them the importance of learning a trade in order to make a living, in order to have panasa. The Pnei Yeshua actually says both are true. It means you have to explain to them the importance of Yofa Talmud Torah and Derech Eretz, so you need both. When he said the pasuk continues that you should tell them the way, that means the mitzvah, that means the concept of Gmilas Chasadim, which is the way on which a person should go, the Derech Hashem. Yehu, where the pasuk continues, they should go Zebiku Cholim. There's a Biku Cholim, specifically Biku Cholim. And Rashi points out the Gemara they should do that as well. Teach them the importance of Biku Cholim. And why is it called Yehu? So Marsha says because you accomplish Biku Cholim just by going to visit the sick person. Already you take away 1/60th of his illness if you're a Ben Gula, as we learned in Nedarim, even without doing anything else for him. And by the way, Rashi says that after the Gemara points out in Bava Metzia, Gemilas Chasadim includes Bichul Cholim. Why does it have to be listed separately? Because Gemilas Chasadim, you might think maybe you're chayiv in it when you're not otherwise losing something else. But Bichul Cholim, if you're Ben Gila, if you're born under the same mazel as a sick person, you take away some of his illness and take it on yourself. Maybe you shouldn't be chayiv in that. No, Yehu says that you're chayiv in that as well. Ba'zukvura, the pasuk continues, in it means burial. And Marshall explains the reason why Baal represents burial is because it's the kind of thing you don't do it for any other reward. It's chesed shalem. You know, you're not going to get rewarded for it ever again. Etamah says that din, when it continues the deeds, that means the actual din, the dinim of the Torah, and Asher Yasun, that they should do, Zulufnim Mishurat Adin. This means acting Lufnim Mishurat Adin, so to teach them about that also. So therefore, Rav Chiya was acting Lufnim Mishurat Adin.
It's 9:30, so I guess we'll stop here, and hopefully we'll have a chance to catch up over Shabbos.
Well, tomorrow night, which is tonight as usual, really, today should have been Daf Kuf, but okay, fortunately Daf Kuf is short, but we'll manage, Shabbos. Well, Shabbos, we'll start learning in the winter, I guess.